Call to order the Bottle Valley Healthcare District Corporation Board of Directors meeting for October 20th, 2022. Roll call, please.
Campbell Cox.
Here.
Nahada. Dunez.
Here.
Pimentel.
Here.
Creel.
Here. Thank you. You tap Jasmine in to Lenny to connect electronically, so. She should contact.
Lenny from our.
Okay, we'll proceed. We have a quorum. Item number two, consideration of late additions to the agenda. Ready on the board? Not hearing any, we'll move on to public comment. Would you read the public comment process, please?
Yes. Now is the time for public comment. If you wish to comment and are joining us in the meeting room, please form a line behind the podium. If you're joining through the Zoom, please find the hand icon on the bottom of your screen and click on the icon to raise your hand. I'll call you by name when it's your turn to speak. We ask that you please state your name at the beginning of your comment. Once we begin speaking, the timer will start. The countdown timer will display on the screen. If you're calling by phone, please dial star nine now to join the speaker queue. Please will virtually raise your hand. I will identify you by the last four digits of your phone number. Please dial star six to unmute yourself and begin to speak. At the end of your 2 minutes, your microphone will be muted automatically. Now I'll say it in Spanish. Ahora es el tiempo que la Junta de Directores recibirá comentario del público. Si está participando en la sala de conferencia, por favor, forme una fila detrás del podio. Si gusta dar su comentario en español, tenemos servicio de traducción disponible para asistir. Si desea comentar y se ha unido a través de Zoom, busque el icono de la mano en el fondo de la pantalla y pulse el icono para levantar la mano. Esto lo colocará en la fila para hablar. Cuando sea su turno de hablar, le llamaré por su nombre y verá una ventana emergente en su pantalla preguntándole si quiere activar su micrófono. Por favor, acepte y comience a hablar. Si se ha unido a través del teléfono, por favor, marque esta estrella 9 para levantar la mano y estar colocado en la fila de hablar. Cuando sea su turno de hablar, le llamaré por los últimos 4 dígitos de su número de teléfono. Por favor, marque estrella 6 para activar su micrófono. Al final de los 2 minutos, el micrófono será desactivado automáticamente.
Thank you. I see Jasmine has joined us.
Yes.
Can you folks online hear us okay?
Yeah, the sound is really good. Thank you.
Hey, so is there anyone from the public that would like to address the board?
Hello, everybody.
This is the time for public comment, yes?
Yep. I have a couple of things. Number one is that I still am totally in favor of total transparency during board meetings. I don't believe the board meetings should be in closed sessions unless, of course, you're talking about something that has to do with a doctor's credentials and things like that. But every other thing should be open, should be heard. The format, I believe, should only be those people that are leaders of particular unions. They can sit, they can listen, they can't be a part of it, they can't make decisions or anything like that. They can go back to their groups, they can speak to them, they can come back and give you their opinions, period. That's all. But other than being in closed sessions and making decisions, I think that's old school, needs to go out the book. Because we need to find out if people on the board actually know what they're talking about, actually know when they're making a decision, that they know something about the subject that's going on. Because I have been a part of the past where many people on the board didn't know what was going on. The CEO could say whatever and they would pass it. The number one.
Number two, I'd like to address number one, if I could. I know you've got some other items. We follow, I'd like to address your issue.
Absolutely.
We follow the state law when it comes to closed session. It's very clear when you can call it and who can be there and who cannot be there. So So some of the folks that you just mentioned, from what I understand, wouldn't be eligible to attend, but we'll have legal check it, to be certain. The other thing, you made a comment that I remember in the past, we're not in the past anymore, we're in the future.
That is correct.
And I hope you're going to be there with us.
That's my point. And you were part of the management before you understand what I'm talking about. Okay. I want open sessions. That's what I want.
Okay.
We
have options to go into closed sessions for a variety of things. It's very clear by state law when and what you have to do. And we will follow those guidelines when it's necessary for us to have closed sessions. But thank you for bringing your concern to our attention.
Number two is that I understand when a decision is being made, when they said full-time employees, going to change everybody to full-time employees. That's fine. The reason for that was economic, as I understand. Okay. And I don't have any problem with that because, as it states in here, is that the biggest cost for any particular business, I don't care if it's a hospital or anything else, is employees and supplies, period. I mean, that's business administration, you learn that right away. So consequently is that when you make cuts, those are the two areas you're making. The number one that you make is normally employees. I don't have a problem with that. I understand the economics of what goes on. My thing is that if you have a business and you're changing things and you're doing it for an economic reason and you're making a cut, is the cut being made to maintain the quality of the service that you're giving and the product that you're delivering is still the same? Or are you diminishing that product by lessening the quality and the service? That's what I'm talking about. And nobody knows that.
Time, sir.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fred.
My comment is about the schedule of the holidays as we approach, and I'm having an answer. December, what I read is something about you're going to do the regular 30 minutes.
Thank you, Dr. Geller. Anyone online wish to speak to the board of speakers?
Yes. Luan, please unmute and you can go ahead and speak.
Hi, my name is Luann. I'm a long-term nurse at Watsonville Community Hospital. I work perinatal, labor, and delivery. And I heard the public comment from right before me talking about having somewhat of a historical content. And sometimes when you buy a hospital, you buy some of the historical problems that you have. And my concern bringing forward is that we have money to fix some of these problems allotted to each unit, such as on labor and delivery, the alarm issue that we have with our monitor system for infant security that is completely, it alarms all the time, which gives the nurses alarm fatigue. And also the fact that we don't have a locked unit. I understand, as I saw the newspaper or the most recent news about the hospital possibly opening up a psychiatric inpatient unit, I'm very concerned that's going to go on the same floor that we are currently on, and without a locked unit for us, how that will play out. And it's a huge concern for me as a Watsonville resident, and also as somebody who works to protect those first very important days of life for those who are born in what I like to call the Ville, Watsonville itself. So if you could at some point address how you're going to fix these historical problems that you inherited as a part of our broken system that we had before from privatized healthcare system, I would really appreciate that to be addressed at some point in our public meetings. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Luann. We'll ask staff to give us a summary of what's going on there and what our options are for improving. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. Anybody else online?
There's no one.
Okay. The record reflect that Marcus has joined the group?
Yes.
Straight off the highway. Okay, we'll close public comment period and go to item number 4, which is report from the Chief Executive Officer, Stephen.
All right, good afternoon. Thank you. Actually, Luann, I'm going to speak to some of what you just, your concerns and your questions. I'll get to that here in a bit. First, I think I mentioned the last CEO report. I always want to start out with gratitude, right? I think that's important. The first thing is, I think we had a phenomenal ribbon cutting. Would you all agree, right? I think it was just wonderful. The connection with the community before and post the celebration was just astounding. I think we improved our connection with our community. It is one of our primary goals, as I mentioned before, and it absolutely was a success. The second thing of gratitude, this actually just brought a significant smile to me today. We received $400 from the Future Farmers of America at Watsonville High School, right? And I want y'all to think about that, right? We couldn't receive something like that the last 22 years. And they put a comment in there, you know, we're raising this for breast cancer awareness, and we want this to go to our mammography program, right? And we will ensure that that happens. So thank you for the Future Farmers of America at Watsonville High School. That's just phenomenal. And once again, the overall feel with our community, with our organization is absolutely improving. I hear it every day. And thank you for our community for having faith in us. I'm gonna have several topics. The first one is just on governance. At the last board meeting, we created our standing committees. I want you to know that we are working on dates and times for that. They will start in November, and we should have communication hopefully by next week on when we'll start those committees. We did start our first ad hoc strategic planning committee yesterday, and we thought it went very well, and we will report back to the board recommendations from that committee, which will include hopefully retaining a facilitator, how we're going to incorporate physician input, community input, and once again, I've been pushing this for frontline staff input within our strategic plan. We might go off-site, we'll have recommendations for that, how we interact with the public, et cetera. So we're working through those. But we're very excited to get that process started. As far as reporting, we will start next month. I think it's important for the board to get the community to get various reports. We will have a report out on quality, a report out on risk, a report out on our financials, and a report out on our statistics, and that will start next month. And we're very excited about that. From a capital standpoint, you might have heard that we went to litigation concerning our cath lab with Philips Medical Capital. There's a good sign on this. The judge has asked that the two entities go to mediation. And from our standpoint, that's good news. We're hopeful to get that worked out with Philips Capital Medical so we can get that equipment here. Hopefully it'll be solved by next board meeting. We're closing the door. There will be some outside noise that's coming in. We're also going to start looking at a new Da Vinci robot. I'm going to bring that to the board next month. This is significant when it comes to physician recruitment. We have tremendous buy-in from our current surgeons that there's a significant exodus of these type of surgeries leaving our county or going to North County, going south of us. And we have a favorable business plan and ROI, so I'm going to be presenting that to you next month on upgrading our equipment in the OR. On a positive note, the state is looking, matter of fact, I think we already got the approval of this, the state is looking at giving us, due to COVID relief, an excess of $2 million in capital, and we expect to get that hopefully by the end of the year. That's phenomenal news to us. My goal is I'll present to the board that we have significant capital needs that this organization's been neglected over the past 7 years with respect to capital.
we need an infusion capital immediately to fix things like what Luann Martin just mentioned online. And we would like to put together a plan to spend some of that $2 million immediately. This is almost like the universe helping us out, right? I mean, this is coming out of nowhere, this infusion of capital, and I think we need to utilize it. And I know the staff are desperately wanting some new equipment, so which is great news. So we'll put together a plan for the board to review, and we're excited about that. From a cultural standpoint, once again, our goal is to rebond with our community, rebond with our staff. I'm going to just name off some things that we're doing today and or here in the near future, which I find very important as an organization. We will have a Halloween competition. Believe it or not, that is needed, right, to rebond. So on October 31st, we'll have a dress-up competition. We're getting that information out to staff. We're excited about that. We will be doing a Thanksgiving cookout. We're hopeful to smoke and maybe even deep fry some turkeys and have different varieties, and administration and management will be out there serving the teams. We also are looking at doing a holiday party. We want to go off-site within our county and have live music, catered meals, dance floor, give out some prizes. The physicians have already mentioned that they want to contribute giving out prizes, and you know we're hopeful to do it within the first 2 weeks of December, and hopefully the majority of our staff will show up to that. We are making an investment. We're going to spend a little bit of dollars to do so. We think it's just the right thing to do to rebond and celebrate with our staff. We are going to start town hall meetings. I'm going to start that in November. To give frontline staff an update where we are, strategic initiatives. However, the new process of creating a new strategic plan. We also want to talk about culture, how we can work together. We want to talk about patient safety, quality, and how we're going to move the organization forward. So I'm very excited. Finally, I can now get in front of staff and hold these town hall meetings. So our first one will be in November. That date will be announced soon. In the end, our goal is, how do we work together? How can we be solutions oriented? Instead of, being frustrated about certain decisions, how can we come together, to creatively create solutions to benefit this organization? And hopefully that will be seen as transformational, where before it was just dictated from the top. But now we want to get buy-in on where we're headed as an organization. From an outreach standpoint, several things. We had the Monterey Peninsula Foundation briefing and hospital tour this month. We're looking at getting $300,000 from them. They are very excited about our cath lab and investing in our cath lab. We're hopeful to get some of those dollars, so $300,000 towards that. We did have a briefing with Senator John Laird. We rotated all of our directors and managers through for him to be able to speak to them, shared stories, et cetera. It was a wonderful bonding moment with our state. Once again, our goal is to have a great relationship with our state moving forward. And so far, we're on the right track. I did attend the Monterey Bay Economic Partnership State of the Region. Once again, we're going to have hospital representation on all governmental programs and initiatives. I'm excited about that. I actually joined Kaiser Permanente, sat with them during that meeting. We do have, this is good news, the Aptos Chamber of Commerce annual awards dinner on November 4th. The hospital was given an award. We will be receiving the Outstanding Achievement Award by the chamber, and I'll be speaking at that event. And once again, that's a celebration and acknowledgement really to the staff themselves, physician staff, executive team, managers, going through this transformation, this bankruptcy, coming out of it successfully. And the Aptos Chamber recognizes that, and they're giving us an award, and we appreciate them doing so. do have on November 4th as well, we have a Leadership Santa Cruz County initiative. We have over 40 community leaders that will be visiting the hospital and rotating through, and we'll be giving some presentations to them. Once again, another initiative to rebond with our community and community leaders. We will be joining the Paro Valley Health Trust Wine and Roses event Saturday, November 5th. Absolutely sponsoring or contributing to their causes. Another wonderful thing, the 1440 Foundation. I might have June step up and speak to this if you have specific questions. But there is a resort that was built just north of us, and they gave us 45 seat, I'll call it seats, but really what it is, it's a full weekend retreat for staff and physicians. And we gave, we allotted by department, and we gave the seats to the union leadership for them to pick, staff to attend, and we gave seats to physicians as well. But this is a full retreat where you have beautiful rooms, catered meals, do yoga, they'll go to various classes. These seats are worth 60-something thousand in donations. And once again, this foundation is honoring our organization on what we went through. So at least 45 staff members with a plus one will be able to attend this event. And we were proud that we could work with the 1440 Foundation to get these 45 allotments. And thank you, June, for really working on that. We appreciate it. From a people perspective, we have transitioned out our Samir Sharma, who is our CFO. We have a new CFO that will be joining us the first week in December. We are very excited that Julie Peterson, I'll make sure you get her resume, it will be joining us. She's a longstanding CFO in our community, has worked at multiple Sutter hospitals. She's actually currently on the Dignity Foundation in our county. So well-known, we are getting a top-notch CFO that lives in our community. Once again, that was my goal, to hire local for all key positions. And this is another one. We're, once again, she's going to be with us long-term, very excited. We have hired a new ED director as well, highly experienced, been an ED director 12-plus years. He will start next month. Very excited about that. We will be most likely doing a retained search for an OR director, which is one of our significant holdups right now. Dr. Harold, anesthesiologist, has joined, or actually has accepted to be the medical director of our anesthesia unit. Once again, we're very excited. We're now out of bankruptcy. We can finally recruit physicians to our network. And we're excited that Dr. Harold, who is local, well-known, well-respected within the community of medicine, will be leading our anesthesia department. From a service line perspective, we'll get into more of this through the strategic planning process, but we do have some momentum already. We did receive a $150,000 grant from Alliance to recruit urology, so we can put those dollars towards that recruitment, and we'll look at strategic ways to make that happen. We definitely need to have gaps in urology coverage, and the goal is to recruit urologists to our community. We have partnered with HCA, and we have a new teleneuro program, and they were on site today. They'll go live in mid-December. This program is used throughout many of the HCA hospitals nationwide, and our first experience with them has been phenomenal. We will be able to retain patients. Unlike before, we'll be able to reduce the transfers. We'll be able to take care of stroke patients in our hospital better than we are today. And it's certainly an advancement of that service line. And I can, over time, I can give you more information of that company as we meet. What else do I have? We are going to be working with Stanford. We need to improve our overall service when it comes to pediatrics. So we're going to have a couple joint meetings with them on how to do that, how to improve culture, how to improve efficiencies, improve costs, improve communication. overall, we're going to push for a significant improvement in pediatrics. And I'm sure you've heard, we are looking at inpatient psych on the second unit. We're also potentially looking at an LTAC. We might even look at clean space for ORs. There's many uses that we can use that second floor for, but we're going to go through the strategic planning process to find out what's best for us. If we go down the route of inpatient psych, my vow to the organization is it will be safe for labor and delivery. We'll have separate entrances. We'll lock the labor and delivery unit down for safety. All of that is part of that process. It's not just implementing inpatient psych. You have to look at the entire hospital, the entire floor. We will need renovations in our ED as well for the intake of patients. So it would be a very comprehensive plan that involves the entire organization and not just the second floor. However, we are going to look at the best way to utilize that space, and it might be something other than inpatient psych. So as we go through the strategic planning process, that will get appropriately addressed, and we'll make a wise decision on the best way to use that empty space. And that's what I have for my report for today. Any questions?
I have a quick question, Stephen, about the $2 million, or I think you said in excess. Mm-hmm. I hope it's a lot in excess of $2 million.
Yeah.
Can we send out maybe a Survey Monkey or something like that to staff to get possibly ideas from them about how they think?
Sure. Yeah. I always say that's a great idea. Uh-huh. We created a capital needs list, which we created that list by working with our directors and managers. And I'm pretty sure they also were, it's how you work through your chain of command, right? And I'm confident that the directors work with frontline staff as well. But now that we have this, it wouldn't hurt to just go back and refresh the plan, ensure that people are heard on needs. But I'll tell you, we have an excess of $10 million in needs, right? So there's still going to be, and we may not want to use all $2 million right away. So we'll have to be thoughtful on how we use the capital, the best way to use the capital, but it doesn't hurt to get input, make sure we're capturing something that maybe we didn't know about. So we'll look at that process to make sure there's buy-in. But in the end, there's going to be more needs than the capital that we currently have, right? That's one reason we're going to have to, June's going to speak to it, speak to this soon. The reason why we have to create our own foundation, have a philanthropy arm to raise capital for our needs. But this is a blessing that we're at least getting two. It might even be closer to three, which means right? Yeah, we hope so as well. But with our current needs, I think we should use a significant portion of that right away due to the lack of investment over the last 7 years.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Yeah. I got a question along the same lines. You mentioned it's early in the stage, but is there any restrictions or conditions that goes with that state money? You mentioned as a result of COVID, are they going to require us to build some kind of outside facility to process COVID response in the future, or is it
so far
a blank check?
So far, it's unrestricted, unless you correct me, Matt.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's unrestricted, which we appreciate the state not placing restrictions on that. Yeah. Any other questions?
This is beautiful. I appreciate the tone. I appreciate the detail. It's a transparency. It was a really nice report out. So thank you for that. All staff pulled all that information together. To the extent, when those start having the dates attached to those things, just make sure our board knows. I'd love to volunteer to cook.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Turkeys, smoking, sure.
Veggies. Yes. All right. We're going to hold you to it.
Happy to. Okay. I don't dress up well for Halloween, but I might this year. Halloween's not my jam, but I'll be happy to volunteer on that day. So as the dates come in, you mentioned a lot of the dates out there. Just keep us in mind that, and I appreciate that. And in the town hall meetings, I love that concept. So thank you for bringing that forward. I know it's something you've been talking about. To the extent board members can be invited to the locations to that, because we want to be as present as possible, and the staff can know us too.
And I failed to mention that John made that request too earlier of me, and I think it's appropriate. We will invite board members to attend. I think if we do two at a time, that's probably best.
Yep.
But I'm hopeful to have enough where I'm covering weekend staff, night staff, day staff. So I think there's a plenty of opportunity to split it up appropriately. But board members will be invited. All right, any other questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you for your report. So item number five is comments from board members. It's a general statement, but any comments to bring up from the board at this point?
Oh, just immense appreciation and gratitude for our community, for our patients, for our staff, for leadership, for the board, for every donor, from $1 to $5 million to $25 million. Everybody who made this week happen and made the last 2 months happen, just deep forever appreciation to in June, I imagine you had a little bit of a hand in planning that event, and many others. So just please extend all of our gratitude to everybody. I know it was a big town. I ran into my brother's the old school best friend, made the cookies, Ponce, and it was just fun connecting with people that I hadn't seen in a long time. And I just appreciate the gratitude and the spirit of staff and everybody that day. It was just it's a really great day. So I know it was a lot of work. Jasmine, that's right. As MC, I saw you nervous before. I don't know why. You were fantastic. So thank you for leading that. John, I appreciate your comments. And I've been saying kind of that same thing, like we're back. And it's not just we're back, but we're back forward. You know, we're back here, present as a community hospital, looking forward. So I'm living on a very emotional high coming out of that week. It's been a really tough time, but that was a really great celebration.
Thank you. I think we all are. Yeah, it was a great event. And please pass on kudos to whoever made the cookies. My grandson had 8 of them.
I was told my brother's best friend, Pontiano. That was 35 years ago.
I have just 2 things to add, Chair. Just
please.
In the same kind of token, thanks to everyone who showed up. Everyone who came to the ribbon cutting earlier this week is, like Marcus said, I saw a lot of people that even I, as a reporter, haven't seen in a long time from our community. It was great. Kind of bookends the shutdowns that we've had at the pandemic. I felt like that was a huge kind of moment for our community to come together to celebrate this, also to come back together to connect once again. So just thank you to everyone who showed up. And the other thing is, this is our last regularly scheduled meeting before the November 8th election. And so just encouraging everyone to go out and vote, no matter who it is that you vote for, just make sure that you take advantage of this incredible privilege that we have in our community and our country. There's other countries across the world who don't have what we have in terms of a say in who we elect as our representatives, who we see ourselves in. And so make sure that you go out and vote. I understand we have two seats and 3 people running. So good luck to all 3 of you on November 8th. And for everyone else out there who's listening to this right now, watching us obviously here in person or watching it later on, just go out and vote on November 8th. Have your voice be heard. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Can I just take a minute? I want to acknowledge the bravery of the 3 women that spoke for the land acknowledgement, because really, they said yes, and they didn't ask questions. And I just want everyone to know too that Natalia, who is our Mixteco speaker, she was holding a paper, but her paper was in Spanish. So she was not reading, she was reading in Spanish and then translating to us. So I just want to acknowledge how brave that was of her. And we've all promised ourselves that next time we'll either make a shorter podium or bring a stool, because it's hard sometimes that podium out there looks so big. But I just deep gratitude for them having the courage to say yes.
You know, along those lines, if I can, and I hate to be the historian all the time, but I will be because I am. We did the same thing 25 years ago. We asked someone from the indigenous community to come and speak at our ribbon cutting. Any other comments?
invent just a few things. Well, one thing I really appreciate the opportunity to get to meet Julie as our potential CFO candidate. And I have to your team, so I was really impressed with her expertise, her caliber, her passion to be here, and not just anywhere, but her passion to be here. So I appreciate that opportunity to get a chance to participate in that process. And I look forward to working with them. Excited that you're making those, many of those strategic commitments for people who are not only experienced, but coming here with the right lens and the right reasons. So
thank you. Any others?
Okay, I will finish. I forgot to say one thing. Just, I'm reacting to something Stephen said. 1440 is a beautiful site, and I think I'm really happy that you guys have got that out of the spot. There, just as you know, some background when you're there, I appreciate them. There was a point in time when I was in a different role at the county, and I got put in a big role with the CZU fire response and shelter and care. And you know, all it took was one phone call, and literally in a week, they said, we don't care about the state contracts. We're here to support our community. That's who you're dealing with. So just, they're an amazing organization. Their site is incredible. So just, if you get a chance to talk to anybody, just say thanks for what they did for all the people who are trying to find shelter during those fire days.
Awesome. And just a reminder, we gave 100% of the seats to staff and physicians. Administration might show up the first night and just high five everyone, you know, thank them for doing this. But we'll depart, right? So it's meant for staff and physicians. So we appreciate those who are signing up and representing the organization and going to the event.
Great. That it? We can move on?
Yes.
So there are no informational items that I know of, but we can start taking that off the agenda. Consent items? They're listed in front of you.
I'd like to just recommend, I'm good with the minutes, but just recommend to change everything. I think it was Luis who was here at the last meeting, and the minutes made, I think, we're made reference to Roseanne being here. So the October 6th minutes refer to Roseanne being here and being present, and I think it was Luis who was here, just mm-hmm. Luis Pearson. So just
okay.
Minutes, sorry.
I'll make that correction.
Yeah, I should have emailed that. And just in consent, I'm just acknowledging, again, I was great with the report and glad we got the presentation last month on the cash flow and adopting an interim budget. Just as a reminder, again, our interim budget shows us ending December with $8.8 million in cash. $6.4 million of that is a loan from the Packard Foundation. So that leaves us $2.5 million. Our payroll is somewhere around $3.5 million. Per cycle, so that's cash less than one payroll cycle. So that's not to alarm us. We're going to be better, but it's just keeping context in mind. Like we're still not there yet, but we will be. And I appreciate all the initiatives we're doing to keep this going. But just as a reminder, there's a lot of work to be done, and I'm glad we have this board together to work on that and work with staff. So with that, I'll happily move approval of the consent agenda items.
We have to ask for public comment. Is there any public comment on the agenda, consent agenda items we're considering? Any from the folks online?
There's no one.
Okay, so now it's time for the motion.
So with the correction of the minutes, I'll move approval of the consent agenda items.
Thank
you. Moved and seconded. Would you call the board, please?
Gabriel Cox?
Aye.
Nahira?
Aye.
Nunez?
Aye.
Pimentel?
Aye.
Prio?
Aye.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Now we'll move to item number 8, which is regular agenda requests to the Pajaro Valley Healthcare District Project to become the foundation arm of the Pajaro Valley Healthcare District Hospital Corporation. Jim, you going to tee that up for us?
Yes. Good afternoon, Chair Frail and members of the board. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you. Lots of celebration, I think, in the heels of what we celebrated on Monday. The opportunity and time to think about moving forward. We received the love from many. And we have much gratitude, as board member Cox was saying. There's lots of gratitude to be shared. And celebration, a celebration of community. $65 million, that's so much coming from this community. So much. And I think it's time to start thinking about how do we capitalize and capitalize on the energy from the community. We are eternally grateful for the work that the Pajaro Valley Healthcare District Project has done to spearhead and lead this campaign. It has been the greatest campaign in Santa Cruz County. That's what we've been calling it, the greatest campaign in Santa Cruz County. And I think Monday was a result of that. So there's a couple things that come to mind as we talk about the energy and what we're requesting for our board. As we honor and respect what the project has done these past few months, it is now time to think about, we are now thinking about the future of the hospital. Wonderful that we have all these different revenues and sources coming to us. But I think it's time to really think about and consider what this foundation, possibly a foundation for our hospital to maintain and sustain our financial stability, to continue to provide the quality healthcare services that our hospital has provided. So it is clear we need to establish a foundation. The project was the beginning, right? We reached that goal. Now let's think about what is the next initiative that we need to work on. And so one of the things that we are here requesting is to really value the success that the project has done. We've looked at various possibilities of the foundation arm, and clearly the project has proven a track record of success. And we've given results to make sure that our hospital is sustainable. So today I am recommending this board that we formally ask, I think in your board packets you saw an attachment letter, that we formally ask the Pajaro Valley Healthcare District Project to request and entertain the idea of being the foundation arm of the hospital. For that, I am requesting if possibly Director Frail and Jasmine Mahida can attend one of their board meetings and make that request. And most importantly, applaud them for their spectacular work and commitment they have to our community. And this will result in making sure that we continue the stability for and the ongoing services to our community. Now I open it to any questions or comments.
Questions on governance, questions what might the next step look like? Are you typically partnering with another entity? There's gonna be a negotiation of details, so I really like the idea of having our chair and vice chair. I think that's a great suggestion. I think having the project serve as our foundation is a beautiful suggestion. It's a nonprofit, already with the relationship with the major funding partner, Packard. And so I'm more interested in the next step, not today, but the next step. So what does the governance model look like? How do they work with us? Are they an extension of us or independent of us? And I think we'll all have opinions on that. So I'm more interested in those next steps.
Right.
But I appreciate and support this direction.
Thank you for that. There are lots of questions. I think the first initial step and what I can see, what I could see in the future is, the first step is this, formally asking the project. If and when approved, then we look at the bylaws, articles of incorporation. What does it mean? What is the fundraising purpose specifically for the hospital? The intention would probably be that. So then you have to model what that looks like in order to make sure that it serves its purpose. So that's a big component. Once that is done, then you need to decide what is the structure look like. There's administration, but there's also your leading board. What does that look like? That's all going to come through as we discuss the bylaws, the articles of incorporation. Of course, we will need legal support to help and make this happen. But I think right now, to respect the process, the first thing would be, let's approach them. Let's see what they think. And then we can come up with the next step. The next step, very similar, probably its own entity, its own 501c3, just to make sure that it's a standalone entity. And I think there's lots of details that need to be unfolded. Those will come, but all in its due time. We're crossing the bridge of making it happen. Once we're there, okay, next step. Excellent question, and I'm sure we will have additional details as items unfold.
So I think their meeting is on Monday.
Their meeting is on Monday.
And Jasmine and I are going to be attending that.
Yes.
Carrying out what you just suggested. And I know we have met with our attorney, Noel, to give us some guidelines, but I think like June is saying, they might have some feedback they'd want us to consider.
Correct.
Noel's on the call right now and listening.
This is board member Nahira. I'm happy to attend. I've been going to those meetings. And I think really what we need to ask the project is for them to submit a proposal to us of how they would envision becoming our philanthropic arm. And that's where we would start the negotiations back and forth, kind of how we did it with the trust and ended up not working out.
Right, Noel, you want to add any comments?
No, that's exactly correct. It's two separate entities who have two separate boards, but they are both heading in the same direction, which is really good. So it's just a matter of making sure there's a meeting of the minds and then having the lawyers document all that.
June, can you just tell us who now is part of the project? Or when we say we're meeting with the project?
So
it's on the other side.
Oh, so the Fargo Valley District project includes Meeting Hall. It includes Carlos Palacios. It includes Dory Rosinda, DeAndre James, and Samara Vives from the city of Watsonville. I failed to give you their organizations, but I can tell you that. Yes, that's the project. That is where we're at.
And have they shown interest in making this move, Jim? In early discussion? I guess it might be good to ask Jasmine, who's been in those meetings as well, too.
Yes, they do have an interest in moving forward with this conversation. But I also understand that there might be some changes to the composition of that board.
I mean, they all five of those individuals have so many responsibilities already. So,
right. There may be changes. Mm-hmm. And like Noel said, those will unfold as the next steps happen. And are they interested? I think we're aligned. Is that we all want the success of this hospital to happen. So that's a really good start.
Yeah. One final question before the public, or for me. Are there, I imagine the answer is probably no, but are there any times, certain deadlines that we must do it by this date, by February 1st, by March 3rd, or are we still in space? Like, we want to get there as soon as possible, but we can do it right. I mean, we don't have to sprint. So are you aware of anything that's a line in the sand that we must get this done by, whether it's a grant opportunity or a big donor or anything like that?
No, there is no specific timeline, but from a personal perspective, my timeline is to make sure that we continue to nurture the donors, yep. The 450 plus donors who are committed to the organization, including the foundations and our large and major donors.
Great.
I think the community is eager to hear what the next steps are,
And I think this is a perfect opportunity to say, hey, FFA, go Wildcat. I'm a Wildcat. Now it's your time to continue giving. Maybe this is an ongoing thing that you can support the hospital. So it's those moments that I do want to capitalize on. So no timeline, but yes, lots of TLC.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions of June from the board? Any public comment on this item?
Tony asked the question I was going to ask.
Okay.
Anyone else? Question.
Yes.
I don't
step up to the podium.
This might be a little bit early because I understand that this is just early in the process. I think that, yeah, that the timing is like of the essence, you know, hearing about finance and just seeing where we're going with everything. I was wondering in regards to bonds, if that's been something that's been discussed or kind of working towards, because it seems like we're definitely in need of some stabilizing reoccurring financing for the hospital. So I was just curious about that. And then just on a side note with the finance part of it, you had discussed over and over about how there's high costs for traveler contracts. It seems like we're very heavy still in ED and OR, and that's a big concern, you know, when we hear that you guys are expressing concern that that's a high cost for our facility. And so I'm kind of curious how we're gonna get away from that. And then I've also reached out to management to find out, you know, what the exodus has been since we've had the reader, because I still see nurses leaving, and I'm hopeful that you guys are trying to figure out how to stop that and how to retain and recruit nurses so that we can get away from the high cost of the traveler contract. So just some of that stuff, but mainly I'm very interested in bond measures to see if we're approaching, looking for that. So thank you.
Thank you, Rosette.
Thank you. Anybody online wish to speak on this item?
There's no one.
Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to approve the letter requesting the project become the foundation arm of the California, the Pajaro Valley Healthcare District Hospital Corporation, authorizing Director Friel and Pajaro to transmit such a letter to the board.
I'll move recommendation. And I should have asked, but I'm presuming nothing's changed since our last conversation with the trust, and we're still operating those same paradigms. We're still looking for these things to make it happen. So I trust that John and Jasmine will still be guided by the same principles with this discussion. So I move the motion.
I'll second that. And Stephen or maybe Matko, if either one of you can answer Roseanne's question about bonds, I know that that might be, I mean, in my opinion, still a ways away for us as a hospital and as an organization, but what that might look like for the general public in terms of asking for a bond and going out for a bond in the future. If we've had any, I don't think we've had any of those conversations, but I know that's way too early for us, in my opinion, but what that might look like.
Yeah, so we've had just minor conversation on it, right? And I think at some point we might decide that might be a decent route to go. However, this is exactly where those standing committees make a lot of sense, right? So we will have a finance standing committee that meets monthly, and that committee will vet those type things, which will then give recommendation to the full board. So we've had side conversations on it, but not a full vetting process for it. So I think we need to, let's get those standing committees operationalized, and those type things will be discussed to include the HR piece, right? We're gonna have a standing HR board committee, which will tackle retention, will tackle recruitment, creative ways to retain staff. How do we reduce our travelers? Those are that's the perfect forum to get buy-in all the way from the board to frontline staff on how to improve it versus just administration trying to solve every problem, right? We're actually trying to be transparent and work with the full spectrum of leadership, the front frontline staff. And the best way to do that is that committee process. So stand by, because those dates are coming for those new committees. And Allison, I don't know if you have any comments, or is that good?
No, only that we are tracking it, and we will get a bi-weekly report per pay period, and I am Gabby's actually sending it to you this week. So we are tracking employees that are either transitioning out or transitioning from full-time to per diem.
Right. Okay.
And we're going to do, I think, a presentation for you soon, probably in December, about what our staffing model looks like now and from where we were September 1.
Okay.
So we'll have more information for the board, and we'll keep the CNA and Roseanne notified of what's happening and what is happening now.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
Question. What is the makeup of the standing board committees? I know that you have two directors on each board. How about the other three? Is that correct?
There's four standing committees.
Right.
There will be two board members at a minimum that will be present. You'll have representation from administration. You'll have key directors. So as an example, the Patient Safety and Quality Committee, our Tracy, who is our Director of Quality, will help lead that. So what's going to happen? They're going to first meet once as just that group. But that meeting, during that first meeting, will be who else can we add to this committee to make it vibrant, right? And what you're going to see over time is that committee will grow. It'll be more inclusive. And until you get the right complement, right? So I'm hopeful eventually each committee has representation from obviously board members, administration, key directors. You're gonna have physicians as well, but we want physician buy-in on these committees, and then frontline staff, right? So essentially everybody, right? But we have those first couple meetings is defining who's gonna be a part of those committees.
So we have a motion that's been seconded to write a letter to the project asking them to become the fundraising arm for the hospital district corporation. So would you poll the board, please?
Gable Cox?
Aye.
Mahina?
Aye.
Yes?
Aye.
Pimentel?
Aye.
Creel?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. June, thank you for your presentation and your hard work on this. So the second item under regular agenda item, the report on behalf of medical committees of the following reports. Matco, you're going to give us an update on that?
Sure, the credentials and MEC committees have all met and reviewed the submissions and the suggestions of the department chairs. There's no need to break off into a closed session at this time. It's all of the items met the required criteria, so nothing untoward in the reports this month.
Any questions from the board about the medical staff committees?
I don't have any questions. I'll just say I attended all those meetings and there were no concerns.
Okay, so we need a motion to approve the interdisciplinary practice credentials report. Yeah, we have to have public comment. Why don't we do the public comment? Any public comments on the topic of medical committees?
Okay, yeah, that's really just a question about the nomenclature. Medical committees, or is it really the medical executive committee, or is it a medical staff report? So I like some clarification.
It's a medical staff report.
Okay. Thanks.
Still no one online?
Is there anyone who wants to speak on item 8B, medical report? No one.
Okay, so now we're open to a motion approving the interdisciplinary practice credentials report.
I'll second that.
They moved and seconded. Okay. Board.
After friendly amendment, to include both motions.
Is it for the both motions or one?
You can?
Yes, you can.
Motion approving the credentials report for October 2022. Motion and seconder.
Yeah, I'd like to include 4 and 5.
Okay, now we call the board.
Gabriel Cox?
Aye.
Nahida?
Aye.
Nunez?
Aye.
Pimentel?
Aye.
Trio?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, we're at the end of our meeting. And the next item is to adjourn. All in favor of adjourning, say aye.
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 Thank you, everybody.
I can't find the lights. So.
Yeah.
Great.
Just in time.
Huh? Yeah. We have a little light. Okay. Oh, I'm learning curve. I have opportunities for